Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Hari Jai Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Hari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yamuna Tera Vanachari Yamuna Tera Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
this evening to speak a little bit about Krishna consciousness. We have this beautiful process of Krishna consciousness by which we are able to understand more than what we normally understand in the world. Manushyanam, Krishna says in Gita, Manushyanam sahasrishu kaschit yaditi siddhaye. Out of many thousands of people, hardly one person will endeavor to understand what is the world and what is our situation here, because we become enamored by the world and it consumes us pretty much, and that is life. But there's another perspective on life, and that is the spiritual perspective. So the process of bhakti yoga then is a process which is described very, very clearly by the Supreme Person, Krishna, in his beautiful Gita, the song that Krishna sang approximately 5,000 years ago, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And in this treatise, Krishna addresses pretty much every aspect of Dai is usually a very quiet young girl, and tonight she's decided to have a bit of a thrash about on the floor. So in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking about the yoga processes. So in text number 46, Krishna says, Tapas vibhyo dikho yogi, jani bhyo pi mato dikha, karmi bhyas cha dikho yogi tasmad yoga bhavarjuna. The translation of this verse that Krishna speaks is that a yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the empiricist, is, and greater than the fruit of worker. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances, be a yogi. The explanation of this verse by Srila Prabhupada is that when we speak of yoga, we refer to linking up our consciousness with the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such a process is named differently by various practitioners in terms of the particular method adopted. When the linking up process is predominantly in fruit of activities, it is called karma yoga. When it is predominantly empirical, is that how we say that word? Empirical. Funny word for me, that word. It is called Jnana Yoga. And when it is predominantly in devotional relationship with the Supreme Lord, it is called Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga, or Krishna consciousness, is the ultimate perfection of all yogas, as will be explained in the next verse. The Lord has confirmed herein the superiority of yoga, the process of connecting to the Lord. But he has not mentioned that it is better than Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is full spiritual knowledge, and as such nothing can excel it. Asceticism without self-knowledge is imperfect. Empiric knowledge without surrender to the Supreme Lord is also imperfect. And fruit of work without Krishna consciousness or connecting to the Supreme is a waste of time. Therefore, the most highly praised form of yoga performance mentioned here is Bhakti Yoga. And this is still more clearly explained in the next verse, which is a very famous verse. It concludes the sixth chapter, which deals with the yoga system. Yoginam api sarvisham madgatin antaratmana shadavan bhajate yoma same yukta tamo matah. Of all yogis, that yogi who always abides in me, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is the most intimately united with me and is the highest of all yogis. So this is a very exalted process, the process of Bhakti Yoga, connecting to the Supreme Person through devotion. Sometimes it is described by those who are not on this path as being a sentimental path. We were hearing just the other week of the great incarnation of Lord Krishna appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was dancing and chanting. And the scholars of that time were saying, you are a renunciate, you are a sannyasi. You should be studying Vedas, the Vedanta philosophy. This is the work of a renunciate. But Lord Chaitanya said, I have been encouraged by my spiritual master and instructed by him to chant Hare Krishna, to dance, and to take prasadam. Kali Kale, what is that verse? Kali Kale Nam Rupa Krishna Avatar. In this age that we live in now, the incarnation of Krishna comes in the form of the holy name of Krishna. And it is described that that holy name is none different from Krishna himself. We discussed a number of weeks back that all we can really perceive is energy, different types of energy. So the Supreme Lord is none different from his energies, and they appear in different ways. And in this age, we can connect with that Supreme Person through this process of Bhakti Yoga, and especially in this age, to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra by chanting. So, other types of yoga, it is described, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Naish Kama Ata Eva Shanta. It is described that those who are wanting economic development or fruitive results from their activities, they cannot become fully satisfied because there is some desire for the self. And even if we are desiring mukti or liberation, still it is a desire of self. But the process of bhakti yoga is to come to the point where our desire is to please the desires of the Supreme Person. Just like the finger, if it tries to act independently, trying to enjoy some, I won't tell you what we're having later, but say some sweetmeat, and it tries to enjoy, how much can the finger enjoy by sticking its finger in some sweet rice or custard pudding or something? Not a lot. Might get your finger burnt, or yeah, think about it. Not a lot really you can do with your finger. But if the finger picks up the food and places it in the mouth and it goes to the stomach, then everything becomes nourished. So the actual dharma of the finger is to serve the whole body. And then the whole body becomes nourished, and the finger is part and parcel of the whole body, becomes satisfied and nourished in its healthy condition. So this is an amazing realization for the living being. We think that we are independent because we are parts and parcels. This is a very interesting explanation. It's used to describe the living being. We are a part of the Supreme, but we are also a little parcel. So you know what a parcel is? You get it, it's wrapped, it's contained, it's separate. So we're kind of separated, but we're also parts of the Supreme. We're all connected. So the problem we have is that we overemphasize our being a parcel, an individual, and do not realize our connectedness. And the problem of trying to be completely satisfied as a separated parcel on its own. Yeah, that's our difficulty. And the whole process of Bhakti Yoga is to revive that forgotten consciousness. That actually we are meant not simply to serve the senses of this body, or to serve the family or the community or the country or the nation or humanity or the animals. By nature we have to serve. And obviously, if you check everything I've just mentioned, we get pleasure from serving all those different entities. But still, we are not connecting to our original source, which is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So, when we place that one, then all the zeros become valuable. Yes? We place one in front of 10 zeros, we get many millions. So, when we make that reconnection, everything can find its proper place. So, Srila Prabhupada continues in this connection. He says, one who sticks to a particular point and does not make further progress on the ladder of yoga connecting to the Supreme is called by that particular name. For example, Karma Yogi, Agyani Yogi. So, Karma Yogi is someone who's engaged in various activities, certain pursuits, practical physical activities. A Jnana Yogi is cultivating knowledge. Dhyana Yogi, a Raja Yogi, a Hatha Yogi, So there are all these different kinds of yoga. If one is fortunate enough to come to the point of bhakti yoga, it is to be understood that he has surpassed all other yogas. Now it's interesting. It says to come to the point of bhakti yoga. So we are practitioners. We are beginners on the path of bhakti. So that is sometimes misunderstood, that we think, oh, yes, this we are performing bhakti yoga, so therefore we are far higher than all these other yogis. Yes, correct. When we have come to the conclusion or the end of bhakti yoga, certainly we will be on the highest platform. We will have come to that platform. But it's a work in progress. Therefore, to become Krishna conscious is the highest stage of yoga. Just as when we speak of Himalaya, we refer to the world's highest mountains, of which the highest peak, Mount Everest, is considered to be the culmination. It is by great fortune that one comes to Krishna consciousness on the path of bhakti yoga to become well situated according to the Vedic direction. The ideal yogi concentrates his attention on Krishna, who is called Shyamasundar, who is as beautifully colored as a cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as the sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels, and whose body is flower-garlanded. So we begin to get a picture of our meditation. So Srila Prabhupada's taking us into a very practical level of meditation. So God is not an absolute, or should I say, he's not an impersonal, formless entity, as sometimes we may understand. In Bhagavatam, it describes Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yajganam advayam brahmati paramatmati bhagavanati sabjite. It explains that the absolute truth is known in three aspects. So the absolute truth has to be understood in all aspects. So that is called Brahman. Yes, he is the source of the Brahma Jyoti, the glaring effulgent, the divine light of the Supreme Lord. We talk about sometimes we can see people's auras, there's a shining, there's an aura. Sometimes people can see like that, they have some kind of vision they can see. So if we have some kind of brightness, the Supreme Lord is supremely bright. He is the source of universes, the sun, everything is coming from the Lord. So yes, he has a glaring effulgent energy. So that part of that is called the Brahman, Brahma Jyoti. So Krishna's one feature is Brahman. Paramatma we've discussed also. He accompanies all living beings as the Paramatma feature, there within the heart, guiding the wanderings of all living beings according to their various desires, sanctioning the activities of the living being, accompanying, providing everything. Krishna says, I'm seated in the heart, and from me comes all knowledge, comes all forgetfulness and all remembrance. You know, when you forget something, you go, oh, I got to remember. Krishna says, he gives remembrance, he gives forgetfulness, he gives everything, knowledge. So this aspect of the Lord is the Paramatma. And then finally, the Supreme Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is all to be understood when we are trying to approach the Supreme. So this feature of Bhagavan is being described by Prabhupada in this section. He says, the ideal bhakti yogi concentrates his attention on Krishna, who is called Shyamasundar, who is as beautifully colored as a rain cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as the sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels, and whose body is flower-garlanded. Illuminating all sides is his gorgeous luster, which is called the Brahma-jyoti. He incarnates. Now, can we imagine this? We have to think about this, meditate. What an amazing person to be able to appreciate. So beautiful, attractive personality, illuminating all sides. He, the Supreme Lord, incarnates in different forms such as Lord Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he descends like a human being as the son of Mother Yasoda, and he is known as Krishna, Govinda and Vasudeva. He is the perfect child, husband, friend and master, and he is full with all opulences and transcendental qualities. So he has all good qualities. Yeah. He's a perfect linguist. He speaks beautifully. Every word that he speaks is perfectly chosen and spoken, all attractive. Every action he performs, just like we see great saintly persons like our great founder, Srila Prabhupada, every gesture was perfect and beautiful. He was an old man, 75, 80, 80 odd years old, but his being was beautiful, so attractive. He would eat beautifully, he would hold things very beautifully, his walk, his look, his gait, his smile, everything. What to speak of Krishna? I remember once I saw someone dancing at a festival. We had a festival, Rath Yatra festival, and this boy, a young geesh boy, he was a youth, and he was dancing as Krishna, and they were doing a Krishna pastime. And he was a very beautiful young boy. Beautiful body, well built, not too well built, beautiful body. A beautiful face, and he had, you know, mascara on and big, beautiful eyes, and he had a long wig on. But he looked really beautiful, and he was quite a good dancer. And I thought, wow, this is really nice, just watching him. And that's not the real Krishna. That's just a fraction of an attraction. You can get a sense how beautiful is the Supreme Person. Obviously, we know that God is not an old man with a big white beard. This is a material conception that we sometimes try and grasp at. Because we have no real information about the personality of Godhead, we kind of speculate that, yes, God's been around for a long time. And he must be pretty old, but he must have leveled out at about 250,000 years old, maybe, a while back, and he's kind of there. This is material. We have a material conception. But we have to hear from the spiritual sources which describe the actual situation of Brahma Samhita, describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Navayovanam. He is eternally youthful. He doesn't get old. He stays beautiful, always attractive. So he is the perfect child. He acts as the perfect husband. There's that beautiful DVDs we get. I've mentioned to some people, what is it called? Little Krishna. And when Krishna's a little baby, it's very, very nice. It's very worth seeing. And Krishna is being chastised by his mother that you're trying to steal yogurt. I'm standing here. And Krishna says, no, not me. I'm not that boy. And he points to his reflection. His reflection is in a pot or whatever it is, glass pot or something. And he says, it's not me, it's this little boy here, but it's his own reflection. So he's playing so beautifully, captivating the heart of everyone in his different activities. He is the perfect child, husband, friend and master, and he is full with all opulences and transcendental qualities. If one remains fully conscious of these features of the Lord, he is called the highest yogi. This stage of highest perfection in yoga can be attained only by bhakti yoga, as is confirmed in all the Vedic literature. Yashya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Bhakti means devotional service to the Lord, which is free from desire for material profit, either in this life or in the next. Devoid of such inclinations, one should fully absorb the mind in the Supreme. That is the purpose of Naiskarmya Yoga. So, Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, explains or declares to the Lord, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. You are the Supreme Absolute Truth. You are the Eternal Divine Person. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. And declares this. So this is Arjuna's not eulogizing his friend Krishna, but he is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has already stated so in so many verses his divine position. Mata para tarannanyat kinchid asti dananjaya. There is no truth, Krishna says, superior to me. This is Krishna's statement. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. And to learn this science, Krishna explains, one has to approach a spiritual master. Try to understand this knowledge by not speculation, but by hearing from the great authorities in this line. And this is the system that Krishna has explained. Evam parampara praptam imam raja sayovidu. This knowledge is received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the great persons in the past understood it in this way. This is the system of disciplic succession. And Krishna says, only in this way can you enter into the mystery of my understanding. Otherwise, I remain covered by my external energy, Maya. And so the deluded world does not know me. So people say, oh, show me God. Okay, you want to see God? Do you actually? Here's the process. It's not my idea that this is the process, but it's the way God has designed it. If you're actually somewhat serious to understand, here is the system. It has been the system since time immemorial, and it continues to be the system. We inquire submissively, we render service, and the Lord reveals Himself to the devotee. So it's an amazing, what would you say, it's the key that unlocks the door. We can't storm the doors to heaven. We can't demand to, in our unqualified state. I've given the example, sometimes we may be in a bar, people in a bar, oh, there's no God, you're wasting your time. But if there was a God, he would be, bring him, show me God. So if we said, okay, you want to see God, do you? Yeah, if there is a God, let him be here in the bar, on the table. Okay, so let's do it then. And we'll click, and Krishna appears. What will those people do? Who can think? What would be their reaction after they pick themselves up? Most likely one of them would suggest, would you like a drink? Why? Because that is their level of consciousness. The level of consciousness would be totally inappropriate. Therefore, God does not reveal Himself to the foolish and unintelligent. Krishna says that, for them I remain always covered by my yoga maya. So if we want to know God, here is the process. Go through those channels, gradually we become purified of lower stages of consciousness. So that is the whole process of bhakti yoga. Utsahana seya daryat tat tat karma pravartanat sangha chagat sato vrite sadbir bhakti prasijyati. Devotional service, if we are enthusiastic, we are confident, but we are patient, we follow the activities of bhakti yoga, or devotional service. We abandon the association of those who are not interested in those things. And then our devotion is guaranteed success. And certain things we should not do. So there are do's and don'ts. And gradually we gain entrance into this association and this understanding. So in the 7th chapter, I won't speak too much longer, I will keep it quite short this evening. I think some of the children need feeding or something. Might be that time. The seventh chapter, this is the end of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is explaining this Bhakti Yoga as being the highest of all yoga processes. Then in the seventh chapter, Krishna then goes on to give indications of how that practical process of Bhakti Yoga is undertaken and how we can learn to see that beautiful description that Srila Prabhupada gave about Krishna. So many statements. Krishna says, I am the origin of everything, both material and spiritual, in this world. There is no truth superior to me. All that we see in this world are my various energies, the earth, the water, the fire, the air, the ether. The living beings are also my parts and parcels. Krishna's already explained that earlier. He says that when you inquire from the spiritual master and render service, Krishna says, when you have thus learned the truth by approaching a spiritual master, you will know that all living beings are but part of me and that they are in me and they are mine. We are like children. We know this. We've heard it many times in many religious traditions. We are sons and daughters of God. We have a divine father. So this is what Krishna is claiming. And he says that, for want of sufficient knowledge in the absolute science, we are now covered with illusion. And therefore we think that we are separate from Krishna. Although we are separated parts of Krishna, we are nevertheless not different from him. The bodily difference of the living entities is maya, or not actual fact. We spoke the other day, I think 2 weeks back, Krishnanandu Prabhu was talking about truth and relative truths. So there are so many relative truths. If we wear a fireman's uniform, we say, I'm a fireman, or I'm a naval officer, or I'm a whatever we identify with. And there's a certain relative truth to that. Well, obviously I'm a fireman, or I'm a policeman, or I'm a nurse, or I'm a doctor, or whatever. But that is a temporary idea. It wasn't like that in the past. It's now truth appears to be, and it changes. We move on from that. We are all meant to satisfy Krishna. By maya or illusion alone, Arjuna thought that the temporary bodily relationship was more important than his eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna. The whole teaching of the Gita is targeted towards this end, that the living being, as Krishna's eternal servitor, cannot be separated from him, and his sense of being an identity apart from Krishna is called maya. The living entities, as separate parts and parcels of the Supreme, have a purpose to fulfill. Having forgotten that purpose since time immemorial, they are situated in different bodies as men, animals, demigods, etc. Such bodily differences arise from forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. But when one is engaged in transcendental service through Krishna consciousness, one becomes at once liberated from this illusion. So it's a very powerful illusion. We shouldn't doubt that for a moment. We could swear we're individuals on our own, and how are we part of God? We're really so separated in our thought. So this whole process is trying to reintroduce this idea, to gradually learn to see how we are very much related to and connected with the Supreme Person. If we can really get this and push this cause forward more and more, the amazing result is that we go back to be with that Supreme, attractive, all-loving personality. Now, wouldn't that be a good idea? We're stuck here in this world with our separated concepts, and the result is not going to be great. We have to get old, we have to die, and it's all finished. But if we push on with this concept at the end of this life, we can go to that Supreme Person and be in harmony once more with that Supreme. That is a fabulous offer. Perfect knowledge is that the Supreme Soul Krishna is the supreme shelter for all living entities. And giving up such shelter, the living entities are deluded by the material energy, imagining themselves to have a separate identity. Thus, under different standards of material identity, they become forgetful of Krishna. When, however, such deluded living entities become situated in Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that they are on the path of liberation, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam. Liberation means to be situated in one's constitutional position as the eternal servitor of Krishna. And we should not think that this type of service is a type of subjugation as we see material service. When we speak of service, we think, oh, why don't you tell me I'm the master? I'd rather, if I had a choice to be master or servant, what would you choose? Master. We want to be the master. But the type of service we're speaking of here is similar to serving a great person. If you were the servant of a very magnanimous, dutiful, noble king or queen, that person eats the same food as the king or queen, they drive in the same vehicle, they live in the same palace, they enjoy the same opulence, as long as they remember the king is the king or the queen is the queen. In a similar way, our service to God is on the absolute platform, so that the servant and the master are both on the absolute spiritual platform. The Supreme Person likes nothing more than to be the servant. He also is not, yes, I am God, and you are my dirty little rascal servants, and sort of gets his whip out and bash him. This is a material master and servant. But it is seen in the activities of Krishna that he likes far more than being the supreme master. He likes to be the servant of his devotees. He likes to be chastised by his mother and father, Mother Yasoda and Nanda Prabha. He likes to play with his friends and to be defeated by them in games that he plays with them. And so on. So this is the absolute platform. All we have to do is recognize the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, give up our foolish idea that we are supreme. We've mentioned in the past, when you're very young, this is a very powerful energy. When you're young, you go down and you used to go down in the city, or you can walk by any storefront and look in the mirror and you're thinking, oh, I'm looking pretty cool tonight. Get your hair done and girls are checking out their makeup and, oh, I'm looking pretty beautiful tonight. And the boys are thinking, oh, this new suit's good. I'm thinking, whatever it is, in our youth especially, that happens. And we think, I can be very attractive. But the whole thing is a joke. The whole thing is a farce. And Krishna, our God, is so clever that he gives you pimples when you're 13 through to 21. Just at the time when you're really thinking you're really cool, boop, 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 all these pimples and pus starts pulling out, falling out your body. It's a bit of an embarrassment. And that is actually one of the great things of surrendering to Krishna and surrendering this foolish idea that I can be the supreme enjoyer, the all-attractive person. Bhoktaram Yagna, that's Srila Prabhupada said, this is the peace formula. Bhoktaram Yagna Tapasam Sava Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sava Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantam Richiti. Shanti, we know this word. Shanti means peace. So when we give up our false proprietorship, when we connect everything to God rather than ourselves, and we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna becomes our dearmost friend and is able to reciprocate unlimitedly to fulfill all our desires. So this will take a little bit of effort. It will take some determination. It will take enthusiasm and it will take patience. So these are some of the virtues of the devotee, where we're able to gradually make progress to come more and more into this environment and take our pleasure from speaking about Krishna, singing about Krishna, eating Krishna prasadam, discussing these different activities of Krishna. And it was very nice to see Srila Prabhupada's purport. It was very sweet. It reminded me of the verse that explains Krishna's body is a city of attractive features that are sweeter than sweet. Krishna's face, which is like a full moon, is sweeter still. And the beautiful smile on that moonlight face is the sweetest feature of all. So we have Krishna's body is attractive in all features. Krishna's face is more attractive. And the sweetest feature is his beautiful smile. Krishna's smile is like a full moon that spreads its rays throughout the three worlds. So this is the beauty of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So I'm going to finish there. And if anyone has any questions or comments, then please feel free to ask or... Yes?
I think earlier you mentioned someone goes to the path of these gods, show me gods.
Yes.
Sometimes that person who's drunk, totally drunk.
Yes. Well, it is said that not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme Lord, ultimately. So if not a blade of grass moves without sanction, not a tongue vibrates without the sanction of the Lord. So obviously it's been sanctioned, but what truth is involved in it, what sanity is involved in it, what hallucination is involved in it, that's another subject. The idea is to come out of an intoxicated state. We've become intoxicated by so many things of the world, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whether it's a desire for profit and aggrandizement. In some way or other, we become intoxicated by these things. So we have to... The Bhakti Yoga process is to reduce the temperature of the fever. We have the fever of material disease. It's a disease. So we don't go to the clubs and to the pubs and so on and so forth, because that will only increase the fever. So that was just an example that we mentioned to show how we have to become a little qualified, in fact, gradually more and more qualified, to be able to approach directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why he explains that first you have to take shelter of a representative of God. And it's very similar to, again, the example, if you want to see the Prime Minister of a country, you can't just ring up the beehive and say, "Oh, I want to talk to Mr. Key. Could you stick him on?" No. He'll say, "Who are you? Are you one of the senior people in the... what party is he? National Party?" Yeah. Maybe you could talk then. Otherwise, you might get a low-ranking officer that might talk to you, and you have to go through the system to talk to a big person. Yeah. In a similar way, if you want to speak to God, the Supreme Person of all, then there's a process to go through. And it's not because he's very snobby and stuck up, it's because he knows what's the very best way for you to make that appointment with him. Guaranteed, this is the best way to do it. You go to my representative, learn from him, he'll get you ready, prepared, and at the right time, I will reveal myself to you. And the amazing thing actually is in the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, the Lord is very, very kind upon the aspiring devotee or the transcendentalist. He reveals himself in various ways to give us a reflection of his attractive nature and feature, to encourage us. You're not at all qualified. You have no qualification. We are so sinful and fallen in so many ways. We forget how fallen we are. But the Lord, out of kindness, sees this soul is trying to do something. So let me reveal myself in some shape, some way, somehow or other. We all get a taste of something very unique and special. And it encourages us to make some progress. I was sharing the other night how when I first went to the temple, and I was going to the temple, and for about, I don't know, somewhere between 2 and 3 months, I used to go to bed at night, and I would just lie there. And you know how you go to bed usually, total ignorance. You put the light out, you go to sleep, and you get up. You get up. But I was going to bed for about 2 to 3 months, and I would just lie down. I wouldn't move all night, and I was practically awake, but I was sleeping. And then the alarm would go, it would be time to go, I'd be completely clear, no ignorance whatsoever. And I'd just get up, get ready, stuff. And this went on for quite a while before I kind of eventually started to get a bit sort of more dozy. And I took it as a very special mercy to just show what is possible when you become very sharp in your Krishna consciousness. And this is shown by the great souls. That I was just listening today to some descriptions of great personalities. They would sleep 1 or 2 hours a night because they weren't interested. They're so absorbed in awake, conscious existence, and hardly they don't want to eat. Now, again, you see this in children. It's an amazing thing. You see children. They get to the point where they don't want to eat. You've got to call them, come and eat. And they're like, no, I'm having so much fun playing, I don't want to eat. But they usually get over that after a while. But it's amazing at different stages how things are manifest. So certainly Krishna will be kind in the beginning especially to give us encouragement. Other question, comment? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I thought before that it refers to the soul being with the super soul together.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, my mind's gone to all sorts of little thoughts of Christmas presents and little parcels and whether you could put two parcels together. But I think we'll stick with the analogy of the individual feeling himself or herself to be completely separate. And that we tend to overemphasize that separateness and not focus on the dependent nature. Because isn't it amazing? We are nicho nicharam chetanas chetananam. It's described, there are many eternals and there is one supreme eternal. So Krishna, or God, is that supreme eternal. And that supreme eternal is supplying all the necessities for all the other dependent eternals. The air that we're breathing, we don't know how, where it comes from, we just breathe it. The body that we have right now that's working and listening and doing, do you know how you got it? Do you know how it works, really? No. You wouldn't have a clue. We just sit there and it works. the ears do their thing, the heart pumps, the food digests, the hair grows, the nails grow, it all goes on. We speak, we live. How is it going on? Krishna is giving the body, he's giving the mind, the intelligence, everything. So he is the supreme eternal, giving everything to the many dependent eternals. So right now we're getting what we're getting in the material world, trying to be those independent little separate entities. If we can realize that, if we can connect to Krishna, it opens up unlimited pleasure, unlimited bliss. But we got to connect and stay connected. It's quite a challenge, because the external energy is really always trying to capture our attention. And it's natural to be captured by the external. So we have that challenge in front of us. But the example of the sticks are there, yes? If you have one lolly, what do they call those things? Ice block pools or whatever you call, I don't know, what do they call them here? An ice cream stick? What do you call the, what do you call those things you get? Ice creams on a stick. What do they call them in New Zealand?
Popsicle.
A popsicle, is that what you call them? Or they call them the tray, sorry? Yeah, I was going to say you go into the trade name, the type of ice block or whatever it is. Anyway, if you take one of those little sticks and you try and break it, it's really easy to break. If you take 10 of them, it's really quite tough. And if you have 30 of them, there's no way you're going to break them. So on our own, it's really easy to destroy any higher consciousness. But if we are together, then it becomes quite tough, quite strong. So we get strengthened that way. That's one of the key points of Bhakti Yoga. Okay, so we'll finish at that point and invite our dynamic kirtaneers to give us some sweet, sweet Krishna Nam. And we'll put the chairs over to the side and we'll have a nice meditation on Krishna's name.